Continuing, for Poles the world over, this was nothing short of an Anglo-American betrayal. When Churchill and Roosevelt had signed the Atlantic Charter in 1941, they'd promised never to endorse any territorial changes, quote, that do not accord with the freely expressed wishes of the people concerned, unquote. By agreeing to Soviet demands at Tehran and Yalta, they had explicitly broken that promise. There were many within the British and American establishment who shared these feelings. Arthur Bliss Lane, the U.S. ambassador to Poland, openly called it a capitulation to Stalin, a policy of appeasement that was similar to the appeasement of Hitler before the war, and a betrayal of America's Polish allies. In Britain, the Labour MP John Rhys-Davies stated bitterly in the House of Commons, quote, "We started this war with great motives and high ideals. We published the Atlantic Charter and then spat on it, stomped on it, and burnt it, as it were, at the stake. And now, nothing is left of it." Forced repatriation. Very little thought was given at Yalta to just what this change of borders would mean for the population of the region. It was regarded as Stalin's own business and not something that the Western allies could realistically influence. In fact, the Soviets had already started to arrest and deport people according to their usual methods almost as soon as they had arrived in the area. But Stalin remained cautious, and the wholesale deportation of Poles did not begin in earnest until the Yalta Agreement was signed. This was something quite new as far as the Soviets were concerned. The Soviets were well acquainted with deporting whole populations from one region to another for reasons of nationality. Throughout the 1920s and 30s, entire communities in the Soviet Union had been moved like pieces on a chessboard. The most recent such move had been the deportation of the Tatars from the Crimea, which at the time was not a part of Ukraine, in May 1944. However, until now, such deportations had always been carried out for political or military rather than purely ethnic reasons. Moreover, they had only ever been conducted within Soviet territory. The Soviets had never before expelled an ethnic minority from their territory into another country. The population exchange that was to take place between Ukraine and Poland, therefore, reflected a marked change in Soviet policy. And my interjection, we've been arguing that under the regime of class, things don't just happen, particularly since the Plato tribesmen became very conscious sculptors of their notion of their debt to him, Plato, to one day realize his vision of the Republic. Recall what we learned from Martin Bernal, that the self-elevated, quote-unquote, rulers of the new global order that began to form with the, quote-unquote, Western embrace of the 19th century international gold standard, and this last we learned from Karl Polanyi, that the very self-conscious global statesmen were training their children both to pursue perfection, a.k.a. supremacy, as the goal of states and, of course, as that personal goal, which also became the whip which they used to herd us, and thumping their Hegelian Bible on lecterns within elite educational institutions to craft a supposedly unique and superior national character to launch into the global competition. Now, all of this depends on tightly controlled populations. All of this depends on our suppressing our own self-given ambitions and making of ourselves soft clay in the hands of statesmen, a mistake we could not help but make because we've been kept apart from each other until today. While our Savage Continent reading continues with the chapter we're currently reading, chapter 18, I want to end with this quote from the beginning of the next chapter, the expulsion of the Germans, quote, The eastern border of Poland was not the only one to move in 1945. When the Big Three met at Tehran, they also discussed what would happen to Poland's western border. Once again, there was no consultation of the freely expressed wishes of the peoples concerned, as promised by the Atlantic Charter. The people in areas that had been considered German for hundreds of years, almost exclusively German people, more than 11 million of them, it was understood by all parties, would have to be removed. According to Soviet plans, all these people would either be conscripted as forced labor to pay off German war reparations or be removed. Unquote. Until next week, peace.